It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday, October 5th. I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson. We are still digesting news that broke yesterday about Yahoo. Apparently, the company wrote special software to read its users' emails in real time at the request of U.S. intelligence officials. The program was searching for a specific phrase in those emails. Now, according to a Reuters report, Yahoo's decision to comply with the government request caused a lot of internal turmoil and is even the reason that the company's chief information security officer left the company for Facebook. Joseph Menn is a technology projects reporter at Reuters. He wrote this exclusive, and he's here now with more. Joseph, is it even constitutional for the U.S. government to ask Yahoo to do this?
It raises interesting questions. It is certainly not a slam dunk that it is legal or constitutional. Unfortunately, the way things have been working, a lot of this stuff gets hashed out behind closed doors. We have the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court in Washington and an appeals panel of that court, and their reasoning is rarely made public.
So this is not the first time that Yahoo has complied with requests by the U.S. government that we know of. This feels a little different. Why would Yahoo agree to write program to read its own users' emails?
Well, given that there was a formal, legally binding instruction, they got this and they obeyed it. So the question is, why didn't they fight it? And one of the reasons that has been given for them not fighting it is that they had fought a FISA order in 2007 and they lost. And not only did they lose, at one point the government was threatening to fine them something like $250,000 a day until they complied. So there was a pretty big cost to fighting. On the other hand, I think post-Snowden, particularly for users overseas and really many users in the United States, there can also be a pretty serious cost to not fighting if it gets out.
Knowing all of that, how likely is it that other tech companies might be doing the same thing and we just don't know about it?
I think it's pretty likely. It would stand to reason that they would have made a very similar request of Google and Microsoft. We don't know that they did. It would be very logical that they did. And we don't know whether Google or Microsoft or both challenged it and what happened as a result of that challenge. Maybe we'll find out in the days to come.
So do you have a Yahoo account?
I have an aged, sort of incoming-only Yahoo account. I can't remember the last time I sent a Yahoo mail.
Joseph Menn is a technology projects reporter for Reuters. Joseph, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
There was no immediate response from Verizon, which of course recently agreed to purchase Yahoo for some $5 billion. Although, in 2013, it was revealed that Verizon had turned over millions of its customers' telephone records to the NSA after a similar court request. In what was supposed to be Tuesday's big tech story, Google held an event in San Francisco to unveil its new hardware, including, among other things, its new high-end smartphone, the Pixel, and its much-awaited Google Home. That's the voice-activated Amazon Echo competitor. But Google spent much of its presentation talking about its progress in artificial intelligence and machine learning, because the company hopes its Google Assistant, which debuts in the new Pixel phones, will eventually control most of your devices and also make life easier by understanding and predicting what you want. But will consumers get it? For more, here's Julie Osk, an analyst from Forrester. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
So this was like Google's big hardware coming out party, the new division, all the new devices. You think this is going to work out for them?
Yeah, I think it will come out. I think it will work out for them. I would say, well, it's been, Google's hardware coming out party, so to speak. I think really just the big news of the day is how far they've brought Google Assistant and just how many devices they imagine, putting the Assistant on.
What does this mean for competitors like Samsung or even Apple?
You know, one of the things that Google doesn't have is really a go-to-market strategy, and Samsung has that down. Samsung knows how to advertise, they know how to market, they know how to line up distribution partners, do customer service. And so it's not just a slam dunk, right? I mean, Google doesn't have a successful history of selling phones or selling other consumer products. So, you know, they've still got a tough road ahead of them from that standpoint.
And how about Apple?
When we look at what it takes to deliver on this vision of some kind of a virtual assistant that lives on a number of different hardware products, there's about 15 or 20 different things that you have to do well, from selling those devices to consumers, to having a lot of personal data about consumers that lets you serve them well in those mobile moments. And every one of these players has some strengths and weaknesses. And one of Apple's strengths is that it has a great customer base. It has an affluent customer base that owns a lot of their products. You know, one of the challenges that Google faces now is getting an installed base. You know, even if you look at their instant messaging platform, there's, you know, it's zero. The home hasn't come out yet. The phones haven't shipped yet, right? So they've got a road ahead of them here.
That's Julie Ask from Forrester. Thanks so much for the time.
You're welcome.
Late last year, Toyota announced a new research division with $1 billion in funding that would work on artificial intelligence and robotics. This week, we got a look at one of its productions. Toyota unveiled the Kurobi Mini. It's a tiny $400 companion robot that will be sold in Toyota dealerships in Japan. It even comes with a little car seat attachment so it can ride in the cup holder of your car. Toyota bills the companion as sort of a road trip buddy who can understand emotion, chat with you, and even try to cheer you up if you're feeling down. See, he wants to know what's wrong. It's perfect, perhaps, for those long, boring rides in self-driving cars. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.